This edition of The Stack was first broadcast on the 16th of August 2014 on Monocle 24.
Long-form journalism for those drawn-out summer days, or sultry photography to soothe the mind, lakeshore reading, or what to flick through in flight. August is the perfect time to catch up on your print intake right here on The Stack. From an editor with a slow approach to world news, some suggestions on what to pick off the newsstand this summer, plus some sound advice from our trusted magazine reviewer. We'll also be heading to the Aegean and find out what publications keep the locals and visitors happy on the island of Paros.
I buy this magazine just because they have some presents. I loved the present, and with 10 euros I bought this beautiful pareo and this beautiful necessaire. So it's so nice. With 10 euros I'm happy. Happy and free.
All that and much, much more besides on The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print industry review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to Studio 2 here at Midori House for this 103rd edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Brûlé. Empty cafes in Paris and traffic-free streets in Milan. It's high summer, and for many of us, seasonal relaxation is in full swing. Today we have the third and, sadly, final summer reading show for you, where we welcome some trusted friends on the show to reveal some of their print vices for vacation. Stack stalwart Jeremy Leslie is founder and creative director of Mag Culture, a company specializing in content design for print and digital media. Of course, he's very much a regular on this program. We've pulled Jeremy away from organizing his upcoming Modern Magazine conference in September. Jeremy, welcome. So conference is almost upon us. So I imagine you've been pretty busy booking up guests and doing the lineup for it, or...
Yeah, we've got most of the lineup ready, just adding a few more names for September the 19th and this year's Modern Magazine Conference, yeah.
Compared to last year, from an evolutionary point of view, how will, you know, of course you don't want to give too much away, but how is it, will it change and differ?
It'll be similar in format. The sort of thread running through the day, I think, will be different insofar as last year it was very much based on the book that I had just written and published, and which it was a celebration of. So this year we want to shift on a little bit and just look forwards at what might be happening, what the future holds for magazine publishing.
I mean, what surprised me last year, because in many ways, and you know, anyone who, of course, comes to our events here and meets you, you know, you're such a champion, of course, of independent print. But then when I was at your event last year, I was really surprised how many, let's say, people from the corporate world of publishing were there also looking for answers. Yeah. And I'm wondering, have you already seen from a registration point of view as well that people are hoping that you'll somehow be the oracle or bring a few oracles to the table to also, you know, point things in a decent direction for this industry?
This program being a case in point, we tend to focus on independent magazines, as I do on the blog. But we also welcome and look at the more interesting mainstream magazines. And I think both sides have a lot to learn from each other. I think there is, I mean, Rob and I were having a chat earlier. There is a danger that the independents get kind of ghettoized into a little space where they're kind of just poly-wrapped and set aside. Mm. But actually, what I love about magazines is the best magazines are common factors to all types of magazines. And I think you should be able to sit some of the best independents alongside our favourite mainstream titles and celebrate them as great magazines. And that's what I'm interested in. That's what the conference is about.
And indeed, you referenced a Rob across the room. He also heard about a clearing of the throat as well. Rob Orchard is here. He's the co-founder and editorial director of the Slow Journalism Company and the publisher of Delayed Gratification magazine, which revisits the events of the preceding quarter and makes a virtue of being last to break the news, or last to breaking news. He spends his days writing and editing long-form features. I heard he's recently started to take a salary as well. For all of his time. And of course, the offering has been described as an antidote to PR-driven stories, knee-jerk reactions, and churnalism. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
And now, I just wanted to say, where are you in your quarterly publishing process right now? What are we going to see hitting newsstands and when?
So, okay, we are all working terribly long days at the moment on our next issue, which is coming out in September, and it covers April, May, and June of this year. So a very, very big time. All sorts of extraordinary things happening. ISIS starting to emerge in Iraq. all sorts of things still going on in Ukraine and some fascinating stories. We've been working on some brilliant stories that maybe the rest of the media have missed. And so that will be part of issue 15, which is out in early September.
Excellent. And just before we certainly go and look at all the magazines that you gentlemen have brought in, I just want to just touch on the commissioning process. How does it work? Do you, obviously, you're looking back across the quarter, and does that mean that there's, going into your story meeting or planning session, is it, pulling pieces out of favorite magazines and dailies and going back to those journalists and saying, look, we want you to revisit the story, or is it taking inspiration from, other pieces that you see and then commissioning afresh? How does it work?
I think it's a little bit of everything. So we have just sent a fantastic journalist back to Soma to revisit the town in Turkey 3 months after the mining disaster. And actually, for that, we wanted somebody who had been there already and was going back and was seeing it again 3 months down the line and once the rest of the media circuits had moved on. Actually, a lot of the time, we're just commissioning people that write regularly for the magazine because they've got an interesting perspective that they pitch to us on something else. There's certain key things that have to be covered in each issue. There's certain of these moments that matter that, obviously were very vital. But then we like to have a really nice big smorgasbord of different bits and bobs. Mm. And we like that, that thing that people always bang on about in indie mags, which is serendipity, of skipping between different things that you didn't know that you wanted to read and going from something terribly serious about Somaliland to something massively frivolous about festivals and so on.
Excellent. Gentlemen, as this is, of course, a summer weekend, it's upon us, and we have listeners all over the world who are probably pulling on their swimwear and settling into their loungers. Jeremy, I'm going to start with you. What do you have? What would really be at the top of the pile if you're emptying your tote bag? We were somewhere, Eastern Mediterranean, Western Mediterranean, it doesn't matter, but a necessary read that you would want to certainly have in your bag, or you'd be maybe sort of recommending it to one of your partners across the pool or something.
I can't go through the day without listening to music, so news of a decent new music magazine will always gladden me, and an ideal thing to take away on that subject would be the Pitchfork Review, the spin-off from the website, the huge American website kind of largely deemed responsible for destroying the music press, is now producing its own beautifully produced magazine.
Surprise. Just tell us a little bit about the history for people who are not familiar with the site. What is the evolution and when did the title come out?
Well, the site's been around, I think, 15, maybe even 20 years. It's a huge review site.
Is the internet that old? Is it?
Maybe. Okay. Hard to remember, isn't it?
It is, I know.
Issue 3 of the quarterly magazine has just come out, and that's the one I would take on holiday. It features a lovely illustration on the front cover. And music-wise, as Rob mentioned, there is a large degree of serendipity here.
Can
in
I just
terms.
Take a peek?
Yeah. There's a real mixture of material. It's not stuff that's been published on the website, although there is some reviews and such like that turn up from there. But they have fun with their subject. So they're, in this issue, there's a curated set of images of music fans that they've put together and looks beautiful as a photo story. And there's a number of other kind of multi-directional approaches to music and music writing. I think it might have been the last issue. They had a fantastic look back on an archive of American music writing, historical writing from the 60s and 70s. And it's fantastic stuff.
Now, there's a great story in here called Burgerland. It says Disneyland is not just a children's fantasy land. It's a place you visit forever. It's a space of not just cultural but psychic influence for kids who grew up in the blue sky tracks of SoCal suburbia around Anaheim and heard the Disneyland fireworks every night as they went to sleep. Disneyland's long shadow fostered a culture of young dreamers now opting for Neverland fantasy and possibilities born of a pop culture kingdom in lieu of a conventional adulthood. And this is interesting because it's something, I guess, as an extension of the site that, again, their site can't do very well. It's just, it's a wonderful long-form piece of journalism. This delightful opening spread as well and delivers it in a way which is just obviously very sort of complimentary, but at the same time, it really takes it a step beyond.
I think they just have a really strong understanding. They do what they do online very, very well, and this is something else. So they're doing something very different here, as you say. It is long-form writing. There's bits of, there are comic strips and other types of editorial content, but it's the long-form writing that's the key to it, and is the reason I will take it on holiday.
And interesting from a timing point of view. So, site's been around as long as you said earlier, and yet they've only sort of found it necessary to take their business to print at this time. I mean, do you think it's a business or do you think it's more of a brand building exercise for them? They just feel that they need another extension of what they do to get in front of people.
I think it's probably a bit of both. I think there is there's undoubtedly a part of just being able to do it and wanting to do it. I think it does follow on from a number of other sites that are moving into that kind of print publishing area. They're experimenting with that to see what they can do with it. I think there's also increasing just the realization that there are different forms of content that are suited to different forms. Mm. And if you've already got a very strong website, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the natural extension is probably into print. You're not going to... Why do TV? You're doing that kind of visual material already. So,
I would ask Rob, would you thank Jeremy generously if he sort of offered this to you? If he saw that you'd have so much to read if you were beachside, would you be tucking into that?
Absolutely, I would. It's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, the one thing that I stop on immediately as I'm flicking through is they've got this fantastic sort of graphic novel element to it. Mm. So there's only kind of one that I can see so far just flicking through, but it looks like really good fun. And I think I want to start doing that in delayed gratification. There's one of the magazines that I brought, actually. There's a French magazine called 21. Mm. And they do a similar sort of thing, which I love, and I would love to get my kind of teeth stuck into, particularly, I think, on holiday and so on. So these guys, they don't mess around. They do 30-page long, in-depth, long-form graphic novel stuff. And it's amazing. So they've got this story here about this guy whose family were in Algeria and they were thrown out of Algeria, and he goes back a few years later, and it's just sensational. And they do this very, very clever thing where, and it's a very nice trick, but basically what happens is they take you to a certain point in the story of the highest moment of drama, and then they will include just one photo in the graphic novel. And it's just like, because up until then you've only seen it, represented mm-hmm. graphically, and suddenly you see the face of the person that you're talking about, the real face, and so on.
So it's non-fiction?
It's non-fiction, yeah. So it's proper in-depth. So, it's a nice journalistic piece. Mm-hmm. He's gone back and done it properly. But just they decide that this is a great format to
Fantastic.
Do it. And, that seeing the same sort of thing in Pitchfork is really, really nice. I definitely like that. I mean, I think, for proper getting your teeth stuck into something, I would say that this is...
Yeah, and I was going to say, in terms of a summer recommendation, if your French is good enough, and certainly if you're anywhere from sort of, Marseille to Nice, this is the 27th edition, really wonderful cover, États-Unis, l'Empire de Couchant. And then the story that you mentioned, Reportage BD Retour en Algérie. And this is, to me, just a fantastic, it's an outstanding cover.
Yeah,
it's something that you would definitely want to read in the sunshine. You are listening to The Stack. My guests today are Rob Orchard and Jeremy Leslie. Before we peruse more summer suggestions, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to be heading off to the Greek islands.
The menu isn't just about food or drinks, it's about the people with innovative ideas, the ones who savor traditions, and the ones who are willing to go further than most in search of the most delicious ingredients. Whether it's an author who's discovered true adventure through food, or a master bartender traveling the world in search of new and exciting flavors, the menu uncovers the tastiest tales from around the globe.
We are finally walking to the simple way of eating, being, but I think it's a universal trend, this kind of simplicity.
As well as going behind the scenes with top chefs such as René Redzepi and Massimo Bottura, we find out the latest in restaurant design, the creative culinary experiences keeping city dwellers' taste buds tingling, and what Japanese clubbing culture and noodles have in common. Join me, Markus Hipp, before the menu, premiering every Friday at 1900 hours London time.
And you're back with The Stack here on Monocle 24, this 103rd edition of the program. My guests today are Rob Orchard and Jeremy Leslie. Now, for many of us, a beach holiday or poolside holiday would not be complete without an obligatory stop at the nearest newsstand. Natalie Savarakis, our regular Athens contributor, popped into the newsstand and bookshop just by the main port of Poroika on the island of Paros. There, she met some of the local international customers that keep this spot so busy. First off, Natalie spoke to Mushola Bisa, granddaughter of the newsstand's founder.
It's the first bookstore in the village, in the town.
And what kind of books and magazines do you sell here?
They take light books and magazines for the beach. But also there's people that they want something more quality. I think they need to escape more. Yes. To be holidays. To have holidays. Outside from the problems.
Marina Katri.
Can you please tell me what you've taken?
I buy this magazine just because they have some presents. I loved the present, and with 10 euros I bought this beautiful pareo and this beautiful... What's the name of that?
Necessaire.
So it's so nice. With 10 euros I'm happy. Happy and free.
And what do you read on holidays if you had to decide? Like from magazines, for example.
From magazines? I don't have something too special. Something interesting.
Light, perhaps, like a fashion, gossip, or more hard...
No gossip, no, my darling, no.
News?
News, more news, but not gossip.
Greek or foreign?
Greek.
Hello, so I see you carrying a Greek daily newspaper and the Financial Times.
Exactly.
Could you tell me, first of all, your name, and also why did you choose these two publications for your reading whilst on Paros?
My name is Dimitris Papagelopoulos. Actually, I bought two newspapers, one Greek and one English, to have a more wide idea of what's happening in the world. And I also bought a book that the story is in Paros.
Paper.
It's actually a crime in Paros. So I think that this one I will spend more time reading this one.
Do you think you'll still carry on reading the news as your time on the island progresses?
Actually, I read the news because I have to read the news. Because of my job. But actually I think that I need a mix of news and fiction, and because we are on vacation, so I need to travel with my mind and actually also have an idea of what's happening.
And last question, you don't read from like electronic form, you're still a very big fan of the print version of publications?
Yes, because mostly things that I read on my screen, either it is computer or mobile phone, is about job and things that I have to do. So the old version is more fun, I think.
Well, I live in Rome. My name's Linda Pacheco, but I'm originally from London. I'm English.
Could you please tell me, on the island of Paros,
yes,
what do you take on your holidays as reading?
Basically three things. I take a lot of books. I read about 15 books over the holiday, but it's a long holiday. I read a big weekly newspaper each week with many supplements. And I also do all the crosswords in an Italian crossword magazine.
Okay. Which newspaper do you
take?
The
newspaper is the Saturday Telegraph because it has a travel section, economics, business, books, and so on. And I get up to date with everything that's going on with one newspaper.
So why is there all these choices? One allows you to escape on your holidays while the other one still keeps you up to date with reality back home. I mean, why this choice?
Okay, the books, I would have to bring about 30 books if I didn't intersperse with newspapers and crosswords. I would fill a whole suitcase full of books because I'm not keen on having a Kindle, not yet anyway. So that helps me to space it out a little bit, and it gives me variety.
And why not a Kindle?
I'm a fan of the printed page of paper. I like to have a real book in my hands and turn the pages. I like to see my books on the bookshelf. I like to be able to go back and take them out, and maybe eventually I'll be converted to Kindle, but not yet.
A wonderfully evocative piece by our Natalie Savarakis at the local newsstand at the port on the Greek island of Paros. Jeremy, it was just interesting as well hearing that one woman saying that she liked also magazine. You get a couple of freebies as well. Her Perea and her Necessaire. I'm actually wondering in indie territory if we're going to see sort of more titles maybe moving down that track. So hopefully not polybagged, but I like the idea of a treat with a magazine as well.
Have you considered free gifts on the front of delayed gratification? application?
We haven't yet, although people have started doing things like that. So I've seen some people giving away beautiful postcards, slipping those inside, and stickers and things like that. And
I think delayed gratification, also you could maybe sort of, you know, recycle all of, you know, the freebies that didn't work for the magazines, right?
Very good idea. Yeah. 3 months on.
From 3 months on.
You know, I think, flip-flops, you know, in December, I think would be a good idea. I mean, I think that would work incredibly well.
Done.
You've got a couple of titles there, all rather sort of bookish in form now. So sort of maybe picking up from our the British woman living in Rome with her 15 books she takes on holiday. Where do you want to start with?
Well, I start with one that's very deliberately bookish. It comes from Random House, the publishers, from their Canadian outpost. Hazlitt is a website that they've been...
But probably you could probably say in many ways that they've... I guess... Not just, you know, using it as a sales tool, and I should probably also, in the interest of full disclosure, say that our correspondent in Toronto is very much involved with this, and this is not the reason why we're plugging it. But it's an interesting move for a publishing company to not just have a site as, and it's pretty transparent as to who they are, but then to move into doing a title like this as well, no?
It is, but it makes absolute sense. You know, when you've got a group of people publishing and editing books, they have a group knowledge, and it makes sense to open it out to a broader audience.
Is it just a sampling exercise?
That's what's interesting about it. It's much more than that. There's a degree of that, but it's more about talking about the things that are relevant and of interest in that world. So the thing that particularly drew me here was with two further. I mean, there's more graphic novel type illustration.
Well, there's over to you, sir.
But there's also interviews with musicians. It opens it out into it's more of a brand piece in that sense. It's beyond books. It places books within a more general culture and gives a kind of intellectual point of view through which you can refer to the books.
I mean, what I like about it as well is it doesn't come across as a catalogue, which I think could very easily happen.
Which could very easily happen with any
big publisher, and especially, you know, one of a corporate scale like Random House.
But I think today, when all these big, I mean, you know, I think there's a danger we start thinking of Random House as being a little tiny indie kind of. I mean, it's a huge publisher, but of course they're faced with Amazon and the battle to survive. And I think it's great to see them move into trying to express themselves and explain what's special about what they do.
There's a lot of nodding going on there, Rob. Had you seen it before?
I have not seen it before. I love it, but I love any magazine that takes a starting point of something that people really, really care about and then does the whole. Everything around it.
Yeah.
So the philosophy, the lifestyle, the history and the culture and all that sort of stuff. You know, you've got Little White Lies did it for film. Hot Rum Cow did it for booze. Green Soccer Journal and actually The Blizzard did it for football. And it's such a great jumping off point. And it's so much more sophisticated than what this sort of title would have been before, which would have been just, you know, review after review after review with some Ernest Cullen columnists. And actually something of, you know, getting under the skin of people who really care about books. Sounds absolutely fantastic. It's beautiful production values as well.
There's just quality throughout.
We probably have time, maybe, for you to give us one more title from your stack. What would you pick?
Having just had a little bit of a go at magazines that don't have that much in them, I just have to pick out this magazine. And something happened to me this morning. So somebody gave me this magazine yesterday. Steve from Stack said, "You know, you've got to have a look at this." So I looked at it, and I was reading it this morning on the train on the way in, LC magazine, and I did what. Book reviewers make up that they do the whole thing.
ELSIE.
Which book reviewers make up that they've done the whole time, which is I genuinely missed my stop on the tube.
Right.
I was supposed to get off at Warren Street and I got off at Euston because I was laughing about Elsie. And Elsie doesn't make any sense. And it's, again, it's the sort of thing that really, it's for the flight. It's not kind of, you know, you're not going to spend 2 weeks dissecting it, but you're going to read it on the flight and it's going to put you in such a sensationally good mood that everything is going to be coasting from there on in. It doesn't follow any of the rules of magazines. It's made by this one guy and it's just basically dumping the contents of his mind on the page. But he does, you know, there was a feature that just started with a line something like, aren't car boot sales funny? I was like, yeah, no, they are quite funny. There's some pictures of some mad car boot sales. And he seems to be kind of walking around Britain, looking at things and seeing all of these funny, hilarious, extraordinary things in very, very, very ordinary moments.
It's a very British magazine.
It's incredibly
or very
British.
English, even.
I was going to say, that, you know, in a way that you said, yeah, you can obviously sort of open up and sort of you'd be off and put you in a good mood. However, I mean, they do open on a story, which which is such, you know, a big topic, well, in this country and many others. And it leads on a story called Closed Shops. And you have this particle boarded up paradise travel shop in the 0782 area. I could have no idea where that is. Spray paint. I mean, just completely sort of this horrible sort of derelict. And then the story just goes on. All of these, you know, these frontages from sort of dead high streets. And the Stanford says is, I've been fascinated by closed shops for quite a few years now. What's left behind is quite often ironic, humorous, or poignant. I love the crudeness of the signage and the textural qualities of the hoarding that sometimes covers the original shop. Here are a few pictures from my collection. And I mean, it's a very powerful political piece as well.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. There's lots of pieces in there that aren't powerful political pieces.
No,
that are just extraordinary.
Well.
So there's one where he just, you know, has a picture of all of the gloves that he's found on the ground. But I don't know, God, it made me laugh so much. Yeah. And I love the fact that it's so incredibly bloody-minded.
But it's all about Les, the guy that makes it. It's whimsy and it's very English whimsy, but he has the character and the foresight to make something really good
that's
out
true.
Of that material.
When you read this, you know this guy a little bit and you love him and you want to meet him and go and have a pint with him, which actually is not the case in the vast majority of kind of indie magazines. And maybe it's because they're a bit more polished or they're more of a group effort. This is just one slightly borderline mad guy, from what I can make out. I don't know, I've not met him, just pouring his brilliant brain out onto the page, and it's glorious. I love it.
Jerry, just very quickly, in the interest of time, what else did you bring there? We can't talk about them in detail. Other recommendations? You've got Makeshift?
I've got Makeshift, which is not a new magazine, but has been around a while and is an extraordinary mix of material from all around the world. It's not based anywhere. It has a huge amount of fascinating stories that you won't read anywhere else.
And then finally, a stack of?
And then I bought a stack of a series of book projects that I've been involved in, which are kind of taking the magazine language and applying them to books with long-form writing and photography from Magnum photographers. That we've been working on at Mag Culture with Visual Editions publishers. Mm. So there's Jeff Dyer spent some time on the USS George Bush.
Yeah, that was on the aircraft carrier.
Absolutely. Yeah. The second one was financial specialist Liaquat Ahmed investigating the International Monetary Fund. And then coming in September, ready for your late holiday, perhaps?
Exactly.
Douglas Copeland is looking at Inside the Internet.
Yeah, which is incredible. So Kit and Chloe by Douglas Copeland, and a really amazing cover Inside Alcatel-Lucent, which is great. Rob, what else did we not get to, just quickly?
I second Makeshift. We both bought Makeshift.
Very good. Yeah.
This is an amazing magazine, and it's all about people trying to find ways to get themselves out of sticky situations, and it's beautifully, beautifully done. And I also brought, we've been talking a little bit about whimsy, also brought Perdis, which is Spanish and English, and it is whimsy. Sometimes it's too much self-indulgence and too much whimsy, but sometimes it really gets it, and it has an interesting project.
It's a lovely magazine.
Yeah. The project is finding out more about happiness and approaching that from a million and one different directions. And it's an interesting thing to pick up.
And on that note, perfect way to end this program. Jerry Leslie and Rob Orchard, thanks very much for that.
You're welcome.
Brings us to the end of this 103rd edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Brûlé. Our producer today was David Pleasant, as always, and our studio manager is Claire Urban. If you have any comments or queries, drop us a note to info@monocle.com. Remember, we're back next Saturday at the very same time. And of course, you can always listen again at monocle.com or via iTunes. And I'm very happy to say that just beside me, I also have issue 76, our September issue, should be dropping through letterboxes, hitting newsstands over the next 4 or 5 days. But for now, for me, for all of us, until next time, goodbye.